Christmas 1940. Silent Night by Bing Crosby was the number one Christmas song of the year. The Red Ryder BB gun was the most sought-after toy for the little cowboy in her family. And Superman kidnaps a small boy and brings him along to peep in the windows of other small children. And that only happens in the first half of Superman's Christmas Adventure.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everybody, and welcome back to the most Christmific podcast in all of cyberspace, Reaction Comics, where today I'm not here talking about Action Comics. No, no, no. I'm here to talk about, from 1940, Superman's Christmas Adventure, written by Jerry Siegel. But it looks like the art was done by someone named Jack Burnley, who was an uncredited Superman artist through the years. But and I'm sure he was probably drawing this for a while. I don't know. It looks very similar to all the other stuff. And I'm almost positive that my Superman Radio Adventure podcast pal mentioned this to me, and I'm forgetting all about it because I am not that great at podcasting. But folks, it's been a while since I put out a new episode, and I apologize for that. But 2022, we're going to be back in full force with some action, some reaction, and of course, lots of Superman. But I this popped up on my DC app. A bunch of holiday and Christmas comics were highlighted, and I saw this one. And I said, oh boy, I need to do this. This is right up my alley. This is right in the time frame that I'm kind of in right now. It's a little behind, going back a little bit. Here we are with Superman's Christmas Adventure. If you have a chance to read this or pick it up, I do beg you to do it. It is a little longer than your normal action comics. Instead of the action comics is... The digital version are 14 pages with a cover, including the cover. This is 16 pages, including the cover. So we get two more pages, two more exciting pages of Superman kind of saving Christmas, I guess. There's a lot happening, a lot to unpack here. But let's talk about the cover first. We have Superman with the other Superman. We all know him as Santa Claus. Santa here in his normal red outfit, but he has a blue belt. Either that was done to match the Superman, or the colorist or the artist, Jack Burnley, made a mistake, or digitally they just kind of screwed up with the color. It's a big yellow cover with Superman, again, leaping. It looks like he must have leapt from somewhere and is streaking very fast right to the roof of this house, where he's smiling right at us. Santa Claus is smiling right at us too, and there are toys just falling out of his bag, but they're falling right into the chimney, which is pretty lucky. Why don't we get to it? We get to the first page, the first panel, and it's just a nice drawing. Again, we're not in the story yet. This time we have Santa with a sleigh and all his reindeer, and he's flying like 5 feet above houses. So he's ready to land on someone's house and give a sweet delivery. And Superman is waving to him. I don't like that Santa has a whip. I don't like that he's whipping the reindeer. I would like to think that the reindeer want to be there and fly. They go through some pretty harrowing things in this issue. But of course, it all starts with Santa Claus whipping them. Great, great, awesome. 1940, everybody. So we get this drawing, and we get a little box of text that says, Yuletide, period of gaiety, and goodwill among men, it seems hardly possible that anyone could be so mean as to sabotage such a beloved event. But Dr. Grouch, gloomy killjoy, plans to do just that. It remains for Superman to demonstrate that, though scoundrels may seek to undermine all that Christmas signifies, the triumphant spirit of Christmas shall exist eternally. Now, quick note here. I said Christmas twice. The first time it's actually written as Xmas. So it says, to undermine all that Xmas signifies, the triumphant spirit of Christmas shall exist eternally. But going forward, if I'm going to be reading Christmas, even if it says Xmas, because as fine as it is to read that, saying Xmas just sounds weird. Sounds weird. So let's get into the story. At the Daily Planet office on a wintry day, we got the editor there, Mr. White. He says, this snowfall reminds me that Christmas is almost here. How about both of you covering the local department store and writing a couple of feature stories on the activity and color on display there? Clark's like, swell. And Lois says, good. While I'm making the rounds, I may do some Christmas shopping. So it's come to this. There are two top reporters going to the department stores to talk about the shopping. So Lois and Clark do just that. They make their rounds to the local department stores. And Clark's like, this stores certainly are crowded with Christmas shoppers. And Lois says, yes, and I love to look at the holiday window displays. Inside the toy department, Clark lingers a little bit looking at the toy trains. And Lois is like, will you please forget about those trains? We're supposed to dig up a story. Leaving the store, they see a ragged boy looking at the window display. He didn't look that ragged. He's in a shirt. He's got a little collar. He's ragged, I guess. And Lois says, I bet you're happily looking forward to Christmas and all the toys you'll get. And he looks up at her and says, my mom and dad are poor. The closest I ever get to toys is when I look at them through store windows. And Clark's like, you say your name is Billy Connolly? Which I don't remember him ever saying that. And you live on Drake Street? Again, this kid's telling strangers where he lives. Clark says, I'll see that Santa doesn't forget you. And I don't know. That's a pretty bold promise there, reporter. Lois says, I can't forget that unhappy boy. There must be thousands of poor kids like him who look forward to Christmas with only a dull ache of despair. Clark says, if there's only something we could do about it. Wait, I've got it. Shortly after at the Daily Planet office. Listen, White. He calls him White. I would never call my boss just by her last name. Listen, White, an inspiration. How about the Daily Planet starting a huge campaign? Readers will be asked to donate old toys. We'll repair them and distribute them to poor kids on Christmas Day. And White's like, it does sound good. Get to work on it at once. Did Clark Kent just invent Toys for Tots? I looked it up. Toys for Tots started in 1947. I'm not saying that Clark Kent invented charity, but this seems very specific to, well, I guess Toys for Tots wants new toys, but it's very similar. It's very much a Toys for Tot type. I couldn't think of another T word. A Toys for Tot type charity. Yeah, charity. So this is where the I love this because apparently the Daily Planet circulation is all over Metropolis, and also at the North Pole. Because at the North Pole, a few days later, Santa Claus reads of the toy campaign. He's holding the Daily Planet, and he says, so I have a couple of new helpers in Clark Kent and Lois Lane. That's fine. I would have loved it if he opened the paper and says, what the hell is this? Use toys. These kids, I need to get them new toys. They need to rely on me. And he gets pissed and he goes after Lois and Clark. That would be funny. Also, just a thought. We see Santa Claus right here. Very real. Very much delivers toys. Why the hell is Billy Connolly having terrible Christmases? Santa, you're blowing it. So on the way home from his office, Clark pauses outside a sumptuous apartment building. His X-ray vision pierces the stone walls. He's looking, for no reason whatsoever, he just looks at this building and says, what's going on in here? Let me be a peeping Tom and look through. He's looking through like an apartment building because he's a creep. I mean, what is going on here, Clark? Within the apartment, James Daniels, one of the richest youths in the country, resents the intrusion of the butler. The little kid says, I don't want a silly little toy. I've got too many. What I want is a motorboat or maybe a yacht. And the butler's like, but Master James, this gift is from your father. Clark just keeps moving on. And then that night, in his apartment, Clark removes his outer clothes. Was he taking a shower? Oh, nope, he's Superman. So he's doing what he does best. He's talking to himself. He says, so James Daniels is dissatisfied with his stack of toys, huh? There must be something I can do about that. Later, in the wealthy boy's apartment, James awakens to see a cloaked figure beside his bed. He's immediately scarred for life. So, let's read that one more time. Later, in the wealthy boy's apartment, James awakens to see a cloaked figure beside his bed. Okay, yeah. Superman should be put in prison. And then we see this kid in bed, scared to death. He's going, oh, who, what? We see the silhouette of Superman. We see his hand, but we see the rest of him is all silhouette. And he says, wake up, James. You're coming with me. So he steals this boy out of his parents' apartment and out of this kid's bed. He breaks into the house, kidnaps the small child. And now he's carrying him. And he says, don't be frightened. I'm not going to hurt you. Yeah, I feel like every guy who steals a kid out of their bedroom starts with that line. So I'm not sure how I'd feel about this if I was young James. He says, where are you taking me? Reaching the tenement district, the Man of Steel descends, seizing a window ledge. He says, look in. What do you see? A little girl playing with a broken doll. Again, this kid's in bed, and this girl's up late, I guess, because in the tenements, anything goes. You can stay up late with your broken doll. And within the tenement, we see a girl with a little doll with no arms sitting on the floor, but she seems to have a smile on her face. And Superman is outside this girl's window with a boy that he kidnapped, creeping and looking in. Again, this is Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. Now, up away soars Superman again over the city, and the kid's like, but the doll was broken. Why then was she having such a good time? Because that's how kids talk. Superman says, because that old toy means more to her than all your expensive playthings. She's grateful to have even that. Then Superman says, let's go creep on another kid. So Superman alights on the ledge outside another tenement window. Look well, and I hope you never forget what you see. He says, it's a boy my own age, crying. Inside, they see Billy Connolly crying miserably to himself. That's what it says. This little boy is in this ragged little bed with stitches, and he is just crying. And, oh, my goodness. We know that kid, that's the kid that Clark promised, and now we see him crying, so let's hope that things change. So they're flying away, or jumping away, I'm sorry, and little kid's like, why was he crying? Because he has no toys at all to play with, not even broken ones. Minutes later, Clark breaks back into this kid's apartment and puts him back in bed. It says, minutes later, James is safely back in his bedroom. Then, as Superman is about to leave, James says, They had so little, and I have so much. I never realized. And Superman says, I hope that you now realize how fortunate you are and how very unfortunate many other children are your age. It's at this point I feel like the story takes a drastic turn into something completely new. Because meanwhile, far away at the North Pole, an odd skyship slants downward towards Santa Claus's big toy factory. It's like this giant purple spaceship type thing. And like they're flying right down to to Santa Claus's toy factory, because they know exactly where it is in the North Pole. And whoever's aboard it says, "We'll put an end to all this Christmas foolishness." Within the vessel, Dr. Grouch and his crony, Mr. Meany, are talking. Yes, folks, there's Dr. Grouch, and Mr. Meany. We're going like full fit, like children's tale on this one. And these guys look like they have, you know, just long faces, big ears, big long chins. Like they look like villains. Like, I don't know what, like they have scowls in their faces all wrinkly up and these like round glasses. They look almost like Scrooges or just like mean, old, unhappy people. And I think it's Mr. Meany. He says, "We never enjoyed Christmas when we were children. Why should the kids of today have a good time?" And Dr. Grouch says, certainly. I want him to, he's not Dracula. Never mind, I'm not going to do that. Dr. Grouch says, "Certainly. We'll talk Santa Claus out of this silly business of making and giving away toys." So they're going there to talk Santa Claus. Stay with me. To talk Santa Claus out of making and giving away all those toys. They're going to the North Pole to have a discussion. Santa Claus, listen, we think you should stop doing this, which is exactly what they do. As Grouch and Meany enter the workshop, they're greeted by Santa himself. Now, you feel like Santa would be like, "What the hell are you doing here? You're not supposed to know I'm here." It's kind of like his fortress of not of solitude because he has the elves there, but it's still, you shouldn't just show up uninvited. He says, "I'm Dr. Grouch. I've always been interested in toys. Would you show my friend and me around?" And Santa Claus is like, "A pleasure, gentlemen. If you will step this way, I'll show you the elves at work on the toys." And what do they see? Superman toys. So this guy, Grouch, is like, "Superman toys? Shirts? Puzzles? Crypto ray guns? Belts? Balloons?" Santa Claus says, "Yes, Superman novelties are very popular this year." It's at this point in the comic that I realize, I think Santa's looking directly at me. And I think what he's telling you is, go buy your Santa Claus toys, kids. Go buy your Superman toys, kids. Superman is very popular. Parents, Superman's all the rage. Go get your Superman stuff right now. It shows the elves making these Superman toys. And Meany says, "To come to the point, we believe your factories can have a better purpose than making toys for children." And Grouch follows up and says, "All this labor and equipment going to a lot of foolishness. We can make commercial products and we can sell them. What a business we'd have." Santa Claus is looking like, "Are you effing kidding me?" We demand that you conform to our ways of thinking or suffer the consequences. Well, what's your answer? And Santa Claus, with his elves, has the greatest answer that you could possibly ask for. He says, as Grouch says, "What's your answer?" Santa says, "This is my answer. Give them the Rush Act, boys." It's at this point that the elves start attacking Grouch and Meany. And when I say attacking, I mean one of them is shocking Mr. Meany with a cattle prod, for lack of a better term. I mean, the elves chase the two pessimists, they're a little more than pessimists, from Santa's workshop with pop guns and charged electric rods. And this guy's like, "Yow!" And the elf says, "Just a slight case of shock." And then the other elf is using a pop gun. It was like a toy that shoots, I don't know, cork or something, shooting this man in the face. He goes, "Ouch!" And the elf's like, "Bullseye!" So, under the elves' steady barrage, because apparently they kept constantly attacking these men, you didn't realize that the elves were also security, Grouch and Meany flee to their strange sky vessel and hastily take off.
"Good riddance! How can human beings be like that?" said Santa.
And the elf says, "Calm yourself, Santa. They're gone." Like, it would be funny if later on you realize that the elves run the show and Santa's just like their slave. Like, ooh, that's a good idea. "I have to deliver the toys or the elves will take me down." "Calm yourself down, Santa. We're going to finish this up and you better get in that sleigh and get the hell out of here. You got one day to do it all." I think I may be onto something. So within the skyship, this is where things, this issue is all over the place, the story. It's hard to keep up sometimes. Grouch says, "Resist, will he? I'll teach him to accept the ideas of Dr. Grouch. The first blow will be struck at the Daily Planet's Department for Distributing Toys." And Meanie says, "That'll show Santa we're determined." So they have a world to work with. A world. They go to North Pole. They go to the center of the toy making. And Santa and the elves, you know, attack them and send them on their way. And their next thought is, you know what? I know how we'll get Santa's attention. We'll go to that metropolis, to the newspaper, and they're doing that toy drive. And we'll strike there. Like, not toy stores all over the world. Not, I don't know, like an orphanage. Like, I guess they're not going to go after the children. They just want to go after the toys. That evening, while Lois and Clark work late at the planet's toy department, because they have a toy department now, Clark says, "Didn't you hear footsteps outside the door?" Wouldn't he say, "Did you hear?" Not, "Didn't you?" She says, "No, not a thing. Now get back to work." She doesn't even care, but Clark's got super hearing. The next instant, two masked men leap in. Now, when I tell you masked, picture, I don't know, like a kerchief that a cowboy would wear to rob a bank, but with eye holes pulled up over your face, and they're completely white. And it's obviously Grouch and Meanie. And he says, "My gas gun." You're going to see this gas gun used 1,000 times. "My gas gun, that's got him." I don't know why he's saying this. And Clark is falling over saying, "I'll pretend unconsciousness," he's thinking to himself. Because remember, they're writing this, it seems like they are writing this to children. In her struggle, Lois succeeds in tearing off the mask of the man holding her. Because in the next panel, it just shows her struggling, and all of a sudden, we know she's in her struggle. And he says, "I'll give you another shot of the gas gun." And Lois pulls the mask down and says, "It's Dr. Grouch." So this Dr. Grouch guy is well known enough that Lois Lane, like, recognizes him right away. Like, "Whoa, you're Dr. Grouch, the Dr. Grouch." Meanwhile, Meanie is like, "Now to start a blaze." So she already knows that it's Dr. Grouch. And now the guy, instead of running, this guy's like, "Let's burn this whole mother down." And he starts lighting up the toys. After the gas gun renders Lois unconscious, so they shoot her with the gas gun. They don't show it. The two pessimists flee. They love calling them pessimists because I guess they hate toys. And Meanie's like, "The fire will put an end to the Daily Planet toy department." And I'm thinking, dude, the fire's going to put an end to the two people living there and a lot more than just toys. Grouch says, "Quick, in our car, we must escape." Once he is alone, Clark drops his pretense of unconsciousness. Rising, he blows with all the might of his powerful lungs and blows out the fire. This isn't the first version of Super Breath, is it? No, but they don't say Super Breath. They just say using his powerful lungs. I noticed that, you know, these comics should be written for children, but some of the words are very his pretense of unconsciousness. Like, once Clark, he no longer pretends to be knocked out. Pretense. But maybe, again, it's just the way people talked then? I doubt it. So he extinguishes the flames. He looks over at Lois. She's knocked out. And he says, "Lois's eyelids are fluttering. She's coming too. I better make believe I'm still under the effects of the gas." So he gets down on the ground and Lois recovers. She's like, Clark, we've had a narrow escape. Look, the fire went out by itself." And Clark's like, "Oh, my head. Those men with a gas gun deliberately tried to sabotage the toy drive." "You think, Clark?" in the next panel, he says, "But in spite of them, we'll fight on with even greater vigor." Lois says, "I recognize one of the masked intruders, Dr. Grouch. Oh, if I ever catch up with him again." Shortly after, Lois leaves the toy room. I mean, this is when Lois is going to get into some trouble. She tells Clark Kent that she will return later. And outside, she's saying, "The other masked man must have been Mr. Meany. I have a suspicion where they might be." So, again, I don't know how she knows this. Oh, now we know. As Grouch and Meany reach their laboratory. Yes, they have a laboratory together. Grouch has been identified, so obviously the other guy is going to be Meany. I mean, these guys aren't that well thought out. And Grouch says, "Well, here we are, Meany. Now to see the ruins of the Daily Planet on the television screen." So they flip on the TV and they look at the picture on the television screen and they're like, "Saved? I can't believe my eyes. Miraculously unharmed, this is ghastly." They have a pretty good-sized TV for 1940, and it's in color. And it shows Superman with a bunch of boxes. Clark Kent with a bunch of boxes. I don't know why Clark's on TV. I don't know anything about this. But I guess the news went to see if the fire was put out. Even though the fire was only, like, there for 30 seconds. Apparently, the news got wind of it. And for some reason, Clark's on TV. At that exact moment, they put the TV on, too. So they're like trying to figure out what the hell's going on. What are they going to do? He's like, "What now? Are we licked, Dr. Grouch?" "Licked? Not on your miserable life, Mr. Meany. Listen, we will wreck the toy shop of Santa Claus and thus puncture the happiness of children forever. What do you think of that?" So they go from trying to ask Santa to change his business model to then going to back to a toy drive. They go to the North Pole. Then they go back to Metropolis to a toy drive to try to break that up. That didn't work. So now they're going back to the North Pole to just wreck Santa's workshop. Meany's like, "I'll smash every music box. I'll wring the neck of every doll." So let's unpack that one a little bit. Does Meany know dolls aren't alive? And I don't know, is he getting some kind of weird aggression out that he's going to choke the life out of these dolls? I mean, "I'll wring the neck of every doll." I love it. And it's also very creepy. And Grouch says, "Come, the spaceship awaits. We haven't a moment to lose." Meanwhile, guess what? Lois Lane, trailing the gloomy pair, stows away in the vessel. She found them very quickly, knew exactly where to go, and then followed them out to their spaceship. And she says, "I'll soon find out what they're up to." Okay, later. So what I don't understand is how quickly the spaceship can get from Metropolis to the North Pole. Because it makes a lot of trips. Later, after they land the spaceship near Santa's workshop, Grouch's gas gun, say that three times fast, overcomes the elf on guard. So they go right to this elf, and they just shoot him in the face with a gas gun, and he falls over, and Meany's like, "Nice work, Grouch." "Now, on to Santa's toy shop," said Grouch. Now they go in and they're breaking everything, breaking into Santa's shop. Grouch and Meany prepare to destroy the toys. They're smashing things. And Grouch is like, "Fuck, all these toys. I hate them." And Meany says, "Wait, I hear footsteps. We're being followed." So inside, oh my God, it's Lois Lane. "It's that snooping girl reporter. I've got her." So guess what? Lois Lane got kidnapped. She's like, "Let me go." But they take Lois outside and they tie her to a giant skyrocket. This panel, my friends, is one of the greatest panels ever drawn. Picture a giant red rocket that, I don't know, Wile E. Coyote would use. You know, it's got the pointy, the pointed end top. It's big. It's got a big stick that you stick in the ground. I don't know where the hell they got this. Was it in their spaceship? I don't know. But they tie Lois to it and they start lighting the fuse. And Grouch is like, "I'm putting on the heat." Ooh, I get it. He goes, "This time it's goodbye and good riddance." And Lois is like, you monsters, you fiends. And Meany says, "What better way is there to dispose of you than by shooting you into the heavens?" And I want to be like, I mean, you could just shoot her. You can bury her. It's the North Pole. You can just leave her outside. She'll die sooner or later. There's lots of things you could do instead of tying her to a giant red rocket and shooting her into the heavens, as you say. So they leave Lois, I guess, you know, they light the fuse and take off. They go back into the workshop, and now they both have axes. And it says the two Killjoys start whacking away at all the toys. And Meanie says, "Tears, tears, the world will be flooded by the tears of little children." And Grouch says, "This is great." And they are just smashing the hell out of toys. But a photoelectric signal warns Santa that someone has broken into the toy shop. You don't think Santa is prepared for something like this?
He says, "Intruders in the workshop, eh? We'll surprise them with a little counterattack that will go down in history."
At a signal from Santa, thousands of toys come to life. I mean, we're seeing all these toy soldiers climbing out of boxes. One of them, the lead, has a sword, and the others all have rifles with bayonets, and they are marching to the orders of Santa Claus. I see a toy of Superman, too. I see a toy tank. I see a toy cannon. They're all coming for you, Grouch and Meanie. In the very next panel, Grouch and Meanie are taken by surprise under the toy soldiers' barrage. They retreat. So these guns that the toys have are shooting. And now it's not enough to kill them. So it's not live ammunition, thank goodness. And they're like, "What? This is impossible." They drop their axes and they just run. "Back to the spaceship. Hurry. Routed by toys. This is humiliating." I mean, the first time they got run away by elves. Now they're getting run away by toys. Now at this point, I feel like, okay, now you have a legitimate reason to be mad at toys because the toys just attacked you. But before that, you guys are just like really grumps. So in the spaceship, I mean, my God, this plan just keeps going all over the place. Now he's like, "I have a brilliant plan. We will take off as they expect. When they relax their guard, we will return. Then you will see for yourself the stroke of a mastermind." I haven't seen anything that nears the stroke of a mastermind. So now their big plan is, we're going to leave. We're going to wait for them to relax. Then we're going to come back. Now, meanwhile, back at the Planet Toy Department, Clark's still sitting there. He says, "Lois has been gone a long time. I wonder where she went. I have it. She must have gone after Grouch. It's time for Superman to act." So Clark just realizes, wow, I mean, maybe she had to go to the bathroom really bad. I don't know. But he's like, "Oh, it's been a while. I bet she went after those guys." And then, oh my goodness gracious. Forget what I said about that panel with Lois tied to the rocket being the best one. This panel is my new favorite one. Searching for Lois, Superman's telescopic vision reveals, and now Lois tied to this rocket. This rocket, it worked. They took off. Grouch and Meanie left. The rocket shot into the air. Lois attached to it. Apparently, it's not a firecracker or an explosive because she hasn't blown up yet. But she is flying through the sky, screaming help, tied to this thing. Tied very good because she hasn't slipped or fallen or anything. And Superman, the Man of Steel, hurtles after the rocket at incredible speed. He says, "Lois, tied to a rocket. It's falling. I've got to catch her. Faster, faster." Then he leaps and got her. Whew. "Young lady, I'm going to take you back to where you're safe. Don't go looking for trouble again." Superman! He returns Lois back to the Daily Planet, and she says, "Wait, I haven't thanked you." And Superman says, "Save your thanks," and takes off. Now again, he leaves Metropolis, jumps in the air, and can see the rocket that just shot off from the North Pole. He gets to where, before the rocket falls, takes her back to the Daily Planet, and it's like, how far away is Metropolis to the North Pole? I mean, I know Superman's fast and I know he can jump, but even like the guy's rocket, I mean, it's like a commute. It's like Santa Claus could live in Metropolis and work at the North Pole. In the spaceship, aren't they going back to the North Pole? Grouch is looking through an ultra telescope. He sights Lois on the rooftop. So wherever they are, they're using this ultra telescope to look back into Metropolis. He's like, what? What do I see? That girl reporter again? And Meanie's like, I'll stay at the controls and keep the ship suspended while you seize her. So they're going to the North Pole. Then they look in the ultra telescope and see that she's back at the Daily Planet. They're like, you know what? Let's turn around and go back to Metropolis. As the spaceship is lowered, Grouch disembarks and again captures Lois. She's like, no, 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 stay away from me. He says, it's no use. You can't escape us. Takes her again on the ship with Lois. I mean, they tied her to a rocket. She's back, and they go back and get her. How about just leave Lois there and go beat up the toys like you were doing, guys? After they take Lois aboard the vessel again, he says, Grouch says, next, I'll deposit you on the ground, Meanie. You know where that truck is, right? And you know what's in it. And Meanie's like, you bet I do. Whoever thought I would have the satisfaction of kidnapping Santa's reindeer? Oh my goodness, these guys just have 1,000 plans. None of them have worked so far, so but hopefully for them, this one will work. While up at the North Pole, the elves run up to Santa. Santa, Grouch and Meanie have kidnapped your reindeer.
They've played their trump card and I've lost. I'm afraid there won't be any delivery of toys this Christmas.
Why not get the assistance of Superman, says the elves. He's been known to help people in trouble. He's our last hope. And he's like, well, that's a great idea. Meanwhile, he apparently doesn't care that the reindeer are probably dead at this point. Santa sends out a distress call from his radio station, because Santa has his own radio station.
Calling Superman, Santa Claus calling, need your help desperately.
Look, I wasn't alive in 1940, but if I was driving down the street and on the radio, all of a sudden I heard Santa Claus calling for Superman to help. I mean, I feel like I would never leave my car again just in case that Santa would come back. That would be the highlight of my life. So as Clark drives along, remember, he left Lois on the rooftop after these guys shot a rocket. And then he says, I'm going to go back to being Clark. So he's just driving along. I mean, he didn't go look for these people who obviously put Lois tied to a friggin' rocket ship. He's like, you know what? Different. Another day, maybe. I'm going home. Gets in his car. Goes for a drive. He hears Santa Claus calling, need your help at once. And he says, this may be a hoax, but I'll take no chances. I must go to the North Pole at once. Luckily, Clark, the North Pole is only 5 minutes away. So changing into Superman, he zooms through the sky at terrific super speed, headed to the north. He says, at this rate, I should be there in a few minutes. And literally, you can see Metropolis in his skyline. So it only takes him a few minutes to get to the North Pole. Minutes later, he's landing, but his arms and legs are stretched out wide, like he's in a parachute, or you know, like you ever see those things where the guys wear the Velcro suits and they jump up against the wall and they want to stick all their arms and legs out. He just looks like he's streaming so fast at this with his arms and legs out that he's gonna crash. They said, look up in the sky. It's Superman. As the Man of Steel alights, again, I guess that means lands, Superman says, no time for formalities. What's the trouble, Santa?
And Santa says, a couple of joy killers, Grouch and Meanie, tried to persuade me to stop making toys. When I refused, they kidnapped my reindeer, and it's Christmas Eve.
I mean, they also destroyed a lot of your toys. I don't know if you noticed that. Quickly, Superman wheels to depart on his new mission.
Your stolen reindeer?
I'm glad you called me. You'll get them back, I assure you. I'll be back in a flash.
Oh, thank you. I knew you'd help me.
Returning to Metropolis, Superman sees, what's this? A truck. And Mr. Meanie is behind the wheel. So he jumped back to Metropolis and very quickly found the truck that Mr. Meanie is driving with the reindeer. How did they get the reindeer? They must have put them on the spaceship? I'm not quite sure. But he says, my X-ray vision reveals something very interesting inside that truck. It's obviously the reindeer, right? He goes, pardon my intrusion, old top. And he picks up the truck. Now, the truck's at an angle. So right now in the back of the truck, the reindeer are falling all over each other, breaking limbs. Meanie's saying, help, it's Superman. Superman leaps up and away with the colossal weight. He says, we've got a date up north. So he takes the truck and Meanie all the way back up to the North Pole. Moments later at the North Pole, he says, within the truck, your reindeer. And Santa's like, you've saved them. How wonderful. So the reindeer get out of the truck. But Mr. Meanie's like, not so fast. He leaps from the truck and fires his gas gun at the reindeer. So he shoots the reindeer. He's like, I'll fix the reindeer so they won't be of any use to you tonight. And Santa's like, what? Next shot, we see these reindeer just lying on the ground, incapacitated, completely out. Overcome by the gas, the animals sag to the ground. And Meanie's like, ha! Gloom will pervade the universe after all. And Santa's like, this is terrible. On Christmas Eve, no gifts delivered. Millions of children will be disappointed. Undismayed, Superman steps forward and says, no time for delay. Quick, Santa, pile your gifts in the sleigh and climb in. Then he takes Meanie and he throws him into the sleigh too. He says, yeah, when he flies into the sleigh. And Superman says, into the sleigh, Meanie, you're coming along too. And so, with the assistance of the mighty Superman, the annual Christmas Eve distribution of gifts by Santa takes place as scheduled. And so Superman is literally holds the sleigh up over his head, and Santa's like, only Superman could perform this feat. So they're inside a house now. They must have broken into someone's house. And he says, if only the world could know the valuable service you've done. Superman says, I'm not interested in public acclamation. Just glad to be of service. As the sleigh soars over Grouch's house, the Man of Steel drops Meanie into the chimney. Literally takes this dude, drops him headfirst into the chimney. The guy obviously broke his neck, right? He's dead, I'm going to guess, in the next panel. And he says, don't say we didn't give you anything, Meanie. We are your life. Now go join your friend. He goes, help, as he falls into the chimney. But inside, we see him inside the Grouch's house. He seems fine. He's like, Meanie, what happened? And Meanie says, Superman did this. He foiled our plans. Grouch is like, the girl reporter is still our captive. She's locked up in the next room. We can still have our revenge. And Meanie's like, wait, I hear footsteps outside. Quick, hide and take your gas gun. Why? And they say, like, oh, they notice it's Santa and it's Superman in our room. Here's our chance to get rid of both of them. In the room, Superman's looking at Santa and he says, you're still going to leave gifts despite all the harm they've done for you? Santa says, yes, it's the Christmas spirit to forgive your foes. I'm sure there is some good in both Grouch and Meanie. They come into the room and they're like, we heard what you said, Santa. After all we did to you, you're still leaving us with Christmas presents. And Grouch is like, I never thought people could be like that. They're the first presents we've ever got. Now they're shaking hands with Santa. If you'll shake my hand, I'll be the happiest man in the world. And Meanie says, we promise to be kind from now on. You've taught us plenty. Superman says, Santa Claus says, put her there. Merry Christmas, boys. Then they should be arrested for all the toys they destroyed. But apparently nothing happens, because now Grouch opens the door and says, Grouch, remember, he kidnapped Lois a couple times. He releases the captive Lois. Superman says, Lois. And Grouch says, Meanie and I want to apologize to you too, miss. And Lois doesn't press charges. She doesn't freak out. Instead, she says, no apologies are necessary. If you got the true Christmas spirit, I'm satisfied. Are you kidding me? They gassed you. They kidnapped you twice. They tried to burn down your toys. They broke the toys. They should not be forgiven so easily. They didn't even, like, Lois is like, no apologies necessary. You got the Christmas spirit, so everything's good. Okay, so I guess now Lois goes with Santa and Superman to distribute all the toys. So as Lois joins in distributing the toys, the task completed, Santa is returned to the North Pole, or just his return to the pole, I guess that's the nickname they call it. And Santa says, come again anytime. And he's leaping away with Lois, and Superman says, Merry Christmas, Santa. After returning Lois to the planet building, Superman stops in to James Daniels' residence. Remember James Daniel, the little rich kid? Yeah. It's been like 5 years since we've heard from him. And he says, where are you going, James? And James says, I'm going to have a swell time distributing toys. Know what I've learned? It's more fun to give than receive. The end. But we see one last panel, and Superman says, I hope all you readers will remember to be generous to those less fortunate than yourselves. And now, Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year. This is great and all. It's wonderful. And it's great that James learned the spirit of Christmas and to give. But what about that friggin' Billy Connolly kid? That poor kid is sleeping, crying in his room. Are you going to give him toys? Clark said, like, I'm going to make sure that Santa comes and visits you. We got no closure with that. I have no idea. I'm going to be up all night trying to figure out what the hell was going on there. But that's it. That's the end. I think it's really a much lighter story than what we're used to because, yeah, all the stuff is, you know, nothing that's very heavy, but think about it. These Superman stories have dealt with real crime, with real murders. I mean, not real, but you know what I mean? Like real villains trying to do real villainous thing. And some of it's over the top, but this was very silly. Two guys named Grouch and Meanie who were trying to destroy toys. And there was only gas guns, no actual real guns and pop guns. There was a cattle prod, but that was used by an elf. So that's fine. But yeah, this was a fun one. And a lot happened. You'd realize how much more you can add in with just two more pages. But that's it, my friends. That is your Superman's Christmas Adventure from 1940. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you guys are having a great Christmas day. Again, Reaction Comics will be returning in 2022. I apologize for the delay. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as a little, just a little holdover until we get back into the swing of things. And there will be some other little extra bonuses I'm going to be doing over the next year. Not just Action Comics. We're going to mix in some other Superman-related stuff. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you stick with it. And I hope you come along with me for the ride. The super ride, I should say. So listen, folks, you can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. The show has its own Instagram at Reaction Comics, but you can also find me on Instagram at Geek Mentality. The website is fans.experts.com. The Facebook page is fans.experts. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Merry Christmas, super friends. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Fans Not Experts.